ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट 10 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। अहो दैन्यम अहो कष्टम पारक्याय क्षण भंगुराहि यन्नोपकुर्याद् अस्वार्थाय मार्थ्यः स्वज्ञाति विग्रहैः। Aho, alas, dainyam, a miserable condition. Aho, alas, kashtam, simply tribulation, parakyaihi, which after death are eatable by dogs and jackals, kshana bangurahi, perishable at any moment. Yet, because not upakuryat would help, a sva arthaihi, not meant for self-interest. Martyaha, a living entity destined to die. Sva, with his wealth. Nyati, relatives and friends. Vigrahaihi, with his body. Sorry, and his body. Translation. This body, which is eatable by jackals and dogs after death, does not actually do any good for me, the spirit soul. It is usable only for a short time and may perish at any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives, must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be sources of tribulation and misery. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Similar advice is also given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 22, Text 35, Etavach Janmasa Palyam, Dehinamiha Dehishu Pranayar Arthayar Dehavacha, Shreya Acharanang Sada. It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. This is the mission of life. One's own body and the bodies of his friends and relatives, as well as one's own riches and everything else one has, should be engaged for the benefit of others. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 9, Text 41, Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma ja janma shata kari karo para upakar. One who has taken birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharata Varsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. The word upakuryat means para upakar, helping others. Of course, in human society, there are many institutions to help others. But because philanthropists do not know how to help others, their propensity for philanthropy is ineffectual. They do not know the ultimate goal of life, Shreya Acharanam, which is to please the Supreme Lord. If all philanthropic and humanitarian activities were directed toward achieving the ultimate goal of life, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they would all be perfect. Humanitarian work without Krishna is nothing. Krishna must be brought to the center of all our activities, otherwise no activity will have value. So I spoke in reply to an email sent to me about Grihastha devotees giving for specifically Krishna conscious activities. And the discussion there was that, well, our devotees, often in a semi-clandestine way, do welfare activities, social welfare activities, for soliciting funds from the public. And the devotees are also asked to contribute to that. Here's a very important statement at the end of this purport. humanitarian work without Krishna is nothing. Now you may say, well, Krishna's, it's done by devotees and the aim is ultimately to benefit people with Krishna consciousness, although it's externally presented as being ordinary social, physical welfare activities. And then the last sentence of the purport is very salient in this regard. Srila Prabhupada writes that Krishna must be brought to the center of all of our activities, otherwise no activity will have value. So if we do this social welfare work and Krishna's somewhere at the side, hidden away, and Krishna's not in the center. And what does Srila Prabhupada say about that? No activity will have value. I'll speak a little bit more about this subject. It is a very important subject because the whole of the mission of human life that Srila Prabhupada writes about in this purport is to change our consciousness from being an enjoyer of this material world to a servant of Krishna. In other words, instead of wanting to take things from this world for our enjoyment, to give ourselves and everything we have, pranayar arthaya dhya vacha, our very life, our wealth, our intelligence and our words, everything should be given fully to Krishna. So this is the mission of human life, to engage all of these in the service of Krishna. And giving in charity can be a beginning, even if it's secular, humanitarian, it's a beginning, it's a long, long way from pure devotional service, but it can be a beginning. But then if we can give directly for pure devotional service, that is much better, that is the point. So I want to discuss this some more, and I'll dedicate this talk to a disciple of mine who passed away just a few days ago, not exactly from COVID, but from hospitalization. He had COVID, he had recovered, anyway, I won't get into it, but the hospitalization caused certain symptoms in him that led to death. But anyway, he and his wife, his wife survives him. They're very good-hearted devotees, not fabulously wealthy by any means, but you could say middle class, Vaishya community, and they were very much in the spirit of giving. They wanted to give money, more than people would normally think. If you give to a charity, okay, I'll give 100 rupees, 1,000 rupees, according to your means, but people who give in charity, they generally give just a small percentage of what they actually have. But Bhagirath Prabhu and his wife, and there are others also I know like this, they just would give more than 50% of their income and more than 50% of their savings. They just want to give everything. Specifically, Bhagirath Prabhu gave for the ongoing construction of the ISKCON Radha Gokulananda temple in Salem in Tamil Nadu. So I'm dedicating this talk to him. And the subject is about givers and takers. The Vedic literature has many accounts of persons who are Danaveer. They are heroes of charity. They're famous, and they're famous for their great acts of charity. And although it's not expected that everyone can follow in their footsteps to that extent, because not everyone's so advanced in spiritual consciousness, but they act as symbols for us or motivators for us to follow in their footsteps. Probably the most famous is Bhishma Pitamaha, who as a young man, when he heard that his father was morose because his father wanted to, you probably all know the story, his father wanted to marry a girl whose father did not want to give that girl to Shantanu, Bhishma's father, because he would only give that girl to Shantanu if the agreement was there that the children of that girl, the first son, would become the king. And that wasn't possible because Bhishma, at that time generally known as Gangaya, that was one of his names, son of Ganga, he would become the king. So when this boy found out that my father, he wants to marry, but I'm standing in the way of his happiness, then he vowed on the spot that I shall not marry. And that solved the problem for his father, and he was able to marry that girl. Oh, I was saying most famous. Maybe one more famous. But there's, it's a bit mixed. The case of Sri Ram, who, to keep the words of his father, Aryavachasa Yadagadaranyam, he went to the forest. Now, of course, his father didn't want him to go. It was just the opposite. He made his father unhappy. But he kept his father's word. So he was prepared to give up his own happiness for the sake of fulfilling his father's word. And there are many, 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 many such examples in the Vedic literature. Shibi Maharaj is described, he was a great charitable king. One time, Indra took the form of an eagle and Agnidev took the form of a pigeon. And the eagle was chasing the pigeon to catch the pigeon and eat the pigeon. And the pigeon took shelter of Shibi Maharaj, landed on his lap and said, "Please protect me." And the duty of a king is to protect, especially those who take shelter. And then the eagle said, "Well, that's all right, you're protecting the pigeon, but that's my natural food. I'm also one of your citizens, so you should protect me. You should give me the pigeon." Then Shibi Maharaj, what can he do? He said, "All right, okay, I'll give you a solution. You take flesh from my body to the same weight of that of the pigeon." Okay, everyone agreed, and the king put the pigeon on the scale, cut from his body a piece of flesh. It wasn't enough. He cut some more, it wasn't enough. Or whatever he cut, it wasn't enough. So eventually he said, "Okay, I'll put my whole body on. You take the whole body and eat the whole body." So this was his charitable disposition. For the sake of the happiness of others, he was prepared to sacrifice his own life. Another example we have, Rantidev Maharaj, described in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, was also a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. He had been fasting. After a prolonged fast, he was ready to break his fast. He had a meal prepared in front of him, when just as he was about to eat, one brahmana came and said, "Could you give me some food?" He said, "Sure, take." So the brahmana ate, and still there was something left over. So then one Shudra came. If a Brahmana asks for food, you give food. For sure, a Shudra comes to a Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya, the king, is about to eat his food, and a Shudra comes. "Will you give him food?" He asked for food. "Yes, yes, you take." He gave. Still there was something left over. Then one man with dogs came and said, I'm very hungry. Could you give me something to eat?" "Yes, you take them." And there was no food left. There was just one glass of water. So he was just about to drink the water. He had been fasting without drinking water. When one chandal came and said, "Could you give me some water? I'm so thirsty." "Yeah, take it." He was willing to give. So he was willing, at his great suffering and to himself, he was willing to give for the benefit of others. And then it was similar to the example of Shibi. Then the four personalities who had come to beg him for food, they reveal themselves as great demigods. So these examples are given. You could say that, well, he could say, the king could say, well, all right, I'll give you some water later, let me drink first, and then I'll arrange some for you later. So you could say, like, but the example is given. How their attitude was one of giving. They should utilize their human life for giving to others. Now, altruism is there, even among animals and birds. The birds will feed their young, they will help each other. Sometimes a different species of animals help each other. There may be cases of animals giving their life for the benefit of others. There's a story told, even Srila Prabhupada told this story once, there are various variations of it, that the man left his dog to protect the child. The child is in a basket inside the room, the dog is guarding. The man comes back, he finds there's no child, there's just blood all around. There's blood on the face of the dog. And the man presumes that his dog has eaten his child. Oh, the man presumed that the dog had killed the child, so the man goes out, gets his gun and shoots the dog dead. And the dog is just sitting there, gets his head blasted to pieces, and with the sound of the gunshot, he hears a baby crying outside. So he looks outside and he sees the baby is there and a dead snake is there covered in blood. Then he understands that the dog had fought with the snake and killed the snake. The dog had risked his life and then without protesting had agreed to be shot because he couldn't communicate. So that's a mundane example, but it shows that altruism is there. Helping others, risking one's own life for no apparent benefit for oneself, even among animals. So what to speak of the spiritual altruism that we find examples in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, one example in Chaitanya Charitamrita is not exactly spiritual altruism, but it is compassion for other living beings, which is engendered by pure Krishna consciousness. One example is Vasudev, the Brahmana who was a leper, who saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this Vasudev, he was so spiritually advanced that even the worms would be on his body, and when they would fall out, he'd put them on back on the body, even though it hurt so much, because he thought that they need to get their food. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cured him. Another Vasudev, who's in Chaitanya Leela, fully spiritual. This is about as spiritual charity as you can get. It's not possible to have any more spiritual charity than this. Is that Vasudev Datta, great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, I see that all living beings in the universe are suffering the results of their sinful reactions, and they're not going to Krishna, they're not getting liberated. So let me suffer the reactions of all the living beings in the universe so that they can all be liberated and go to Krishna. So what could be more charitable than this, to accept the sufferings of others eternally so that they may be benefited? So these are examples. And how does it apply in our day-to-day life? Well, grihasthas are expected to give something in charity. If they have extra money, more than they need, even if they're very poor, they may give something also in charity. When Sudama was going to see Krishna, requested by his wife, you please beg something from Krishna in charity, but we should give something to him also. They didn't have anything to give, so she begged from some local houses some very poor quality rice. So we should give something to Krishna. The idea is that even we don't have anything, we'll get something and give something to Krishna. So grihasthas should give, and especially if they give for spiritual activities, that is the greatest welfare work. That I discussed in the previous talk, and many, many purports, Srila Prabhupada discusses this point. So grihasthas, they earn money, they spend money for their family, and nowadays there's so many necessities, not enough to have simply roti, kapra, makan. You have to have food, clothing and shelter. You need to have a fancy house and a fancy car and fancy gadgets and so many things, on and on and on. There's no end to the needs in the consumer society. So the grihasthas, they are working, and most of the money goes for their family members. And again, I'm remembering Bhagirath Prabhu, who didn't neglect his family members, but gave so much, on and on and on. He wanted to give more and more and more. He's not the only one, of course, but there are many like that. So grihasthas, so they don't just get completely caught up in the consciousness of earning money and spending it for myself and my family. They should give for altruistic work, especially for Krishna consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita is described different kinds of charity. Some people give grudgingly, some people give insultingly. Beggar, you want some money? Take it. So that charity will not purify us. That will not give any pious result. That becomes another kind of sin, especially if we give in such a demeaning way to devotees. So some who give in our Krishna consciousness room, they give wholeheartedly. Yes, you take. What do you need? You take. We're willing to give. Others, they want something. They do some service, or they give some money, and they want to be noticed. We can accommodate people like that also. We find in many temples that it's written the name of the donors who donated, because they want it, that others shall know that I donated for the construction of this temple. Or we hold festivals and we call the donors. Yes, we would like to thank such and such who has donated so we can hold this festival. And they like that people will see, oh, he's giving, very nice, very good, so we can have this nice festival. So that's not the same as giving quietly. Gupta dan, there's that saying. Gupta dan means secretly, if you give something, then you get spiritual benefit. So, some people give, they do service. That's one kind of charity also. Prana, giving your life, at least some of it. But some, they want something back, one way or the other. I'm talking about my experience within our Krishna consciousness movement. Some may be devotees, initiated devotees, they want some leverage, they want some say in the running of the institution, they want to be recognized. Others, we find some devotees, they give very liberally, and they're very confident. Yes, you take, we know you'll spend very nicely. Others, they give little amount and they want, oh, see, now I'm giving, now you have to show me the accounts, what are you doing? They're very picky, and they'll criticize if anyone does anything wrong. Now I've given something, now I'm in a position I can criticize everything you do. You're living at our expense, so you should become our slaves. It's kind of, they accuse of misspending. Of course, there may be misspending, but unnecessarily they take an attitude of that suddenly because they gave something, then you become their servant or something like that, or you have to flatter them. So we should be careful, of course, when we're giving, to see that money is not being misspent. There will be some misspending, especially when there are so many activities going on, and It's not possible to always not be cheated or not, or to make some wrong decision or to spend too much for something. In a big organization, you can't expect everything to go on perfectly all the time. So there will be some misspending, but one of the characteristics of a good manager in the Krishna conscious movement is that they're very careful in the management of funds, as Srila Prabhupada was very much so himself. But he also got cheated sometimes. Or sometimes, not very often, he was very sharp, but it could happen. And sometimes, also, some people, they were intransigent, they were just in that Juhu land. There were people who didn't, the tenants, they wouldn't move out unless they took a huge amount of money, and Srila Prabhupada eventually, he just gave it. What can you do? There was no alternative. But generally, Srila Prabhupada was very careful with money, and then so many devotees, they were very happy to give Srila Prabhupada money because they had the confidence that he would spend it for Krishna. Even if Srila Prabhupada did misspend, it wasn't for his own sense gratification or for the sense gratification of anyone else. He used everything for Krishna. And we should be confident that the devotees who we're giving to, they have the proper attitude that every penny should be spent for Krishna. And not only they have the good attitude, but they're competent to spend it properly. There may be others who they're not in the mood of using money that's given for their own sense gratification, but they're just not very competent in managing money, and they may misuse funds that way. So the whole attitude should be everything for Krishna and nothing for myself, and as far as possible, no foolish misspending. And those who are in a position should not press others to donate, saying that, yes, you see, it's for the temple, but actually they're using it to live comfortably. That will be very much disliked if it's seen that grihasthas who are working hard, they donate in the leader may say, you should donate for the temple, but they themselves are grihasthas or brahmacharis living very comfortably in the temple and not doing as much as they could do or should do for spreading Krishna consciousness. And they say, give to the temple, give to the temple, but the temple's funds and their own funds, they're all mixed up, and they, in the name of being a leader or a manager in the Krishna conscious movement, they also live pretty comfortably themselves, more comfortably in many cases than the people they're taking funds from. In other words, they shouldn't be parasites. Now, there are cases like that. I'm not saying that there are many, but there may be some here and there. So there may be grounds for complaint in such a case. Not that it's like that in every case. So what we're looking at is givers and takers. Our attitude should be to give. If we give in charity, we should give to those who give Krishna consciousness, who give their life. It's not a one-way street. We give to those who give back to us, give back to society. Krishna consciousness, or they develop projects, or they print books, all for spreading Krishna consciousness. And takers are those who will accept funds and use it, even partially for any sense gratification, or they give funds themselves, but they want more than their money's worth in prestige, in leverage, and this and that. In this regard, I'm going to read from the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19, Text 42, the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. This is the whole purport. Beggars always present themselves as possessing nothing, and this may be very good for them, because in this way They are assured of not losing their money and of always drawing the attention and compassion of others for the sake of collection. But this is also condemned. If one purposely continues this professional begging, he is supposed to be dead while breathing. Or, according to another interpretation, such a man of falsity should be killed while still breathing. The Vedic injunction in this regard is as follows. Ataitat purnam abhyatmang yanneti sayat sarvang neti bruyat papikasya kirtir jayate sainang tatraivahanyat. If one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing, if one continuously poses himself as possessing nothing and collects money by begging, he should be killed. Sainang tatraivahanyat. So that is one of the statements in Srila Prabhupada's books, which we should perhaps not take 100% literally in this Kali Yuga. We're not supposed to be going around killing people. But the point is there. It's a very, very strong warning about living as a parasite, collecting money in the name of charity, exploiting people's charitable motives, maybe pushing them to give. Beggars can be very pushy. Posing as a beggar when actually you have lots of money as a means of livelihood. So this kind of parasitical living is condemned. So that certainly shouldn't be there in the name of Krishna consciousness. In other words, those who are accepting funds should be visibly nispriha, without any personal desire. They should, like Srila Prabhupada, follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, be able to receive huge amounts of money and use it all for Krishna. In the centers of, at least some of the centers of Krishna consciousness that I am overseeing, we have this system in the brahmachari ashrams and in some of the grihastha ashrams, in the farms also. No electricity. Good system. That means there's no comforts any more than the minimal. And therefore, we don't get people joining, generally, who want something material. It's pretty austere. And those who are giving for the Krishna conscious activities of these devotees, they can be assured that the money is not going to be used for sense gratification, because they don't have any sense gratification. Their happiness is Krishna consciousness. So it's a good program for getting sincere devotees. Not saying that all the centers of Krishna consciousness have to be without electricity, but it's something that I've instituted, and it works. Now, you may have heard of Parkinson's law and Murphy's law, and these are laws of human nature applicable in business and life in general. There's also some other law I was informed of recently. I can't remember the name of it. It's applicable in businesses and institutions and workplaces. The general tendency is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work, and 80% of the people do 20% of the work. That's just the way it is, they see in most workplaces and institutions. So a good employer will see those who are in the 20% and promote them. They have a very strong work ethic, and the others are just dragging along and doing their work, somehow getting through the day somehow or other, doing the minimum like that. So in our Krishna conscious ashrams, those who are brahmacharis or those who are grihasthas, who are living supported by the institution, they should give 100%. Otherwise they shouldn't be supported. Brahmanas, there may be brahmana grihasthas also are not living in the temple. They should give 100%. We're asking for donations from the public, and from congregational devotees who, by their circumstances, are not able to give 100% because they work for some company or they're doing some business and they're involved in the secular world and they have to maintain their family. So we're asking donations from them. But those who accept donations, they should all be giving 100%. In our temples, it shouldn't be 20%, 80% like that. Everyone gives 100%. Now, it may be that some are more capable, and therefore those are the ones who are organizing and making the plans, how to spread things. But everyone should be giving 100%. Everyone has different capacity, but everyone should be fully engaged. Everyone should have full-time service and do it with full heart and soul, not just dragging their life through. Otherwise, why? What is that? That's not brahmachari. Brahmachari means he's fully absorbed in Brahma, in spiritual activities. So give yourself to Krishna. That's what life is. That's what Krishna consciousness is. Krishnate akila cheshta. Everything for Krishna. All our endeavors, everything for Krishna. And those who are accepting donations from the public, they should be models of this. They should actually be giving everything for Krishna. And that means also, if they may have, not in their own name, but it may be in their own name also, whatever, they may have cars, they may have electronic gadgets, but they shouldn't be seen to be collecting these things because they like all the latest fancy stuff like some materialist, but they may use it clearly because they're using it for Krishna's service. Not that they have to have all the latest fancy stuff and live very luxuriously and imitate materialists at the expense of others. If you want to live very luxuriously, then go do a business, something like that, and if luck favors you, then you have plenty of money and you can use it. You can live as luxuriously as you like, but that's not what Krishna conscious, it's not what the Krishna conscious movement is meant for. In this regard, I would say a few words to our Gurukul brahmacharis, young boys who are studying, with our, in most cases, their parents don't give, they should give, but they don't, but we support that, we support the boys also. And there are others, adult students at this Bhagavat Vidya Pitam in Govardhan. They're studying, they don't have to pay anything. The funds are raised so that they can sit and study full time. So devotees in this situation, the young boys, we give them initiation, which means they're supposed to have some discrimination. They should also kindly consider that all their needs are being provided for so that they can, without any worries, study and learn the teachings of the Shastra so that they can benefit others in future. They should be grateful that such an arrangement is being made. The teachers are teaching not for any personal aggrandizement. They're simply teaching, they're giving themselves because they want to benefit the boys. The funds are being put in there to benefit the boys. Later they may do anything we like. We hope and pray they'll remain in Krishna consciousness if they've actually learned what they've actually absorbed what they're being taught. But from our point of view, for those of us who are arranging it, we don't have anything to gain from this. Gratefulness to teachers, that is a cornerstone of any cultured society in history. Nowadays, secular education, it's a business more or less. The teachers are paid, and especially a lot of education goes on purely a commercial basis. So neither the teachers feel for the students, they may do, but mostly they feel for their income. And the students, they also have no culture of gratefulness to the teachers. I know I didn't when I was a child. So I'm just saying to our Gurukul Brahmacharis, you be grateful for everything. And gratefulness. Children grateful to their parents for raising them, looking after them. Generally in youth, people take all these kind of things for granted. They don't understand what a great sacrifice others are doing. But as you get older and you yourself, you have to work hard and struggle in this world, and then you realize what a sacrifice others have made for you. So those who are serving, go on serving others. Don't demand that others should respect me or others should be grateful to me. Just take pleasure, as you are already doing. Take pleasure in serving others unconditionally. Be happy in that. Of course, it is very pleasant and it's very much wanted, and it is devotional if the students express gratitude to their teachers. And it hurts the teachers if the students don't care about the teachers. If they really care for the students, and I know in the Gurukuls I'm overseeing, the teachers, they're really giving themselves life and mind and everything for the children, and it hurts if the children are ungrateful or they misbehave. Children may misbehave, but if they act in a way which there have been instances of showing that they have no regard for all the sacrifices the teachers make. So the young boys, I'm saying, generally in youth, you don't realize all these things, but just start to realize that's part of your education. Maybe you can't understand when you're a child, but it is hard for the teachers to train others and give themselves. It becomes a great strain when the children themselves they're unenthusiastic, they're not into it. If the children are not into it, then you don't want to teach them, and if they're really, really, really not into it, then they tell the parents, you please take them. They're not happy here. They're there. There's no need to keep them here. But even as a child, you should make the decision, okay, I'm here. I'm here to learn. I'm here to study. I'm here to serve. And do it. And if you give yourselves fully to the study, human life is meant for giving, and give yourself to your role, then you'll be greatly benefited and you'll be happy. And not this making excuses for not doing service properly, coming late and leaving early, and all this kind of thing. Don't be the kind of student or servant in any position where you have to be pushed to do your service. That's part of the 80% who do 20%. You always have to be pushed to do your service. Be enthusiastic. This is a proper brahmachari. So there are a few thoughts on givers and takers. Be a giver, one who Krishna has given us some gifts. It may be he's given us the gift of life, prana, he's given us the list. Pranaya athaya diha vacha. Given us some life, let us use it in Krishna's service. He's given us some money, let us use it in Krishna's service. Given us some intelligence, let us use it in Krishna's service. Given us speaking ability, let us use it in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That we can say, even if we're not a world-conquering preacher. At least we can say the holy names of Krishna. So let us do it in an attitude of giving, not taking. What do I get out of it? This attitude is just the opposite of bhakti. So let us have the mood of giving and also have some discrimination. Where to give, how to serve, who to serve. But this attitude of giving with Krishna in the center, that is the perfection of life. And as long as we're thinking of taking, even if Krishna is in the center, then we're still not properly situated. So be a giver, not a taker. Hare Krishna.